Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
They're built the right way. They've got a great defensive line, and they have a number one corner. Usually when you have those two combined, you have a chance to have a great defense, and that's what they do. They have a really good defense. They get after the quarterback. They're able to stop the run, and then they're able to take away, because of their number one corner, your best receiver, and that's a good combination.
Football Friday, that is Sean McDermott, the Bills and the Broncos, Sunday at 1. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, and it is always a pleasure to welcome Jeff Legwald back to our show. He joins us now on the Wester Hotline. From Denver, or are you in the car on your way at this point, Jeff?
I'm in the car, but on my way to, you know, get ready to be on my way, I guess.
How's life, Jeff? It's great to have you on.
Oh, it's great to hear from you. No, all is well. All is well in the Mile High. So,
How much of a just happy to be here vibe is there? Like how much, I would imagine that's been a talking point, guys trying to convince you that they're not. But the fan base certainly just has to be thrilled they're back in the playoffs for the first time since Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, no, there's certainly the happy to be here vibe from the fan base. I think Sean Payton, with his experience and just his demeanor in general, will not allow such thinking in their world, in the locker room anyway. So I don't think there is much of that among the players. Even the rookies are not that, you know, sort of led by Bo Nix's sort of attitude about the whole thing, which is, you know, as long as they're in it, you know, maybe they should win some games type of, you know, thought to it. But they really don't have a homegrown player. You know, there are no homegrown Broncos in the locker room who've been to a playoff game in the team's uniform. And, you know, I think they only have, you know, not even two dozen players who've been to playoffs overall. So it will be a new experience, and a lot of it will depend on how Sean Payton has done, you know, getting them ready.
How much, with that said, Jeff, how much of a surprise is this season to you, with how last year went, the mess with Russ, the dead money, all that, rookie quarterback that wasn't like one of the top tier guys? I mean, still was a first round pick, but not everyone was a fan of that pick to begin with. How much of a blindside was them having really a pretty excellent year considering where they were coming from?
Yeah, you know, I think the big question was, you know, when Sean Payton was in New Orleans, he routinely, I mean annually, had one of the oldest teams in the league every year. And, you know, he didn't have a place with him a lot of those years. And the question coming in was, you know, would he have to, by necessity, sort of get religion on that? And I think that's been the surprise, is he has embraced it. You know, he started a rookie quarterback for the first time in his career as a head coach. And, you know, six of the seven guys in their draft class this past April have played in games. You know, they've leaned on young players all over the roster. And I think that's been the surprise, that he, you know, and it's sort of the question moving forward, will he continue to do it? I mean, they had five guys named first or second team All-Pro, and four of them are draft picks. So, you know, will he keep doing that moving forward? But that's what's fueled this team, is the youth. And it was the only way they could do it, with a historical, you know, dead money hit against the salary cap. No one had ever taken a bigger one, and it was $85 million, and, you know, they took 53 of it this year. So they were very limited in what they could do.
No homegrown Broncos in the locker room that have competed for Denver in a playoff game. There is one in the Bills locker room in Von Miller, who, of course, was the MVP of the Super Bowl the last time Denver played in the playoffs. Jeff, I'd like to hear you talk about Knicks, just sort of within Bulldogs question about to whatever extent this season is a surprise to you. How about Knicks himself? He's almost 25. He's a rookie, but Knicks and Daniels both this year, longer college careers that have done really well. I guess just to get to a question for you, is he legit?
You know, I think his greatest strength is a self-awareness of what he is as a player. And unlike a lot of rookies you see over the years, is he doesn't really stray from the things he can do. Now, he is far more confident in his ability as a runner, for example, or, you know, just his arm strength than maybe outside people are, as you would expect. I mean, you don't get to the NFL if you don't have sort of this unwavering confidence in what you are as a player. But he really has an awareness about what he can do in every situation. And he is very unflappable. I give him tons of credit. It ain't easy being Sean Payton's quarterback, especially being the first rookie quarterback for Sean Payton. And he has handled that, you know, probably better than most could. And I think those are the things that have struck me about it. And I think moving forward, he'll have to always be aware of who he is as a player and in, you know, getting as good as he possibly can on the things he may not, you know, have as strength.
Well, spinning off of that, Jeff, what is he good at? Like what are the things to watch out for if it's going sideways for him?
You know, I think he is for a rookie quarterback. Now, he played 61 games in college, so it's sort of the modern. You know, I'm old enough to remember when Philip Rivers' 51 college games were a record, and now that wouldn't even be in the top 100. But, you know, all of that college experience has helped him. He's a really good processor. He sees things quickly. Now, they do some things on offense to help him. They put him in the three wide a lot. They put him in the shotgun a lot to give him that clear view of things. But he is really good at processing. He is really difficult to sack, and he is elusive as a runner, and I think he's a lot faster than defenders think he is until he runs for the first time.
61 college games, the COVID year. He played 11 games that year. A lot of schools didn't play at all, right? I mean, so he has that and then gets the additional season, ends up playing 27 games in 2 years for Oregon, and I think he led the country in a couple of big stats there last year in the Pac-12. Jeff, what about this matchup? So the Bills, I mean, the Bills are still the Bills, even though there was a transition here in the offseason, rolled to the AFC East, 9-point favorites here. Are there a couple of things about the matchup that you think maybe Denver is looking to exploit?
Exploit may be a strong word in that way. I think they will probably refer to, especially defensively, some of the things from last year's meeting, and that, you know, they didn't sack Josh Allen in that game, but they felt pretty good as you can feel, really, about keeping him sort of more confined. And I think that's their big goal, is he's so good off schedule. What their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, calls the second act of a play. He's so good at that they I think they're really concerned and concentrating on just having the ability to keep him a little hemmed in, or at least as much as possible. So I think that's what they're looking at. I mean, they led the league in sacks. They set a franchise record in sacks, but I don't know how overtly aggressive they will be coming after Allen. They may take a more, mush rush, a more composed approach to it, just to try and keep them a little more hemmed in if they can.
Yeah, Sertan, go ahead.
Sertan gives them an option to do a lot of things on defense most people can't. I mean, he actually helps them dictate, which is rare defensively, you rarely get to dictate anything, but the best quarterbacks in the league don't like throwing at them, and wherever they put them impacts on what happens, you know, after the snap.
How flexible are they with that? We know Mike has mentioned how in a game recently they had him on the outstanding rookie tight end Bowers for the Raiders. Like Khalil Shakir is the Bills' leading pass catcher overall and amongst wide receivers. He's the slot guy. Like if he's eating early, could you see a scenario where they would throw Surtain on him?
Yeah, you know, I think they've been pretty judicious about it. I mean, when a team has a clear, you know, alpha number one, they've locked him up more in those situations. They did it differently in the four games Riley Moss, or the three games Riley Moss missed the other corner. They had to do it differently when he was out. But the fact Shakir's in the slot so much could impact things. But Surtain's had as good a year at corner as I've ever seen. And I covered Champ Bailey with this team. I covered Rod Woodson with the Steelers. I've seen some corners. And Surtain's year this year was as good as I've ever seen when it comes to locking up the best receivers in the game. Nobody has really dented him when he's been on them in man coverage. But you know, again, that'll bear watching. You know, they only Detroit played man coverage more than the Broncos this year, and you guys know what Josh Allen did to Detroit.
Right. You covered Nate Odoms, by the way, too. Just want to throw his name into the conversation, Jeff.
A very good corner.
Very good.
From the University of Illinois, no less.
How about that? Quickly, I'm curious about Marvin Mims. As a fantasy player, we've kind of all made fun of how Sean Payton, especially last year, seemed like every week he would talk about how they have to get Marvin Mims more touches than never would. But now he's been an all-pro returner, but also a couple touchdowns in recent games, the little short pass on Sunday against the Chiefs. Yes. Is he a weapon?
Well, you've touched on it. I mean, Sean Payton spent a lot of time this year talking about how they get needed to get Marvin Mims the ball more, and then they wouldn't do it. And then suddenly they had the epiphany, if they lined Marvin Mims up at running back once in a while, they could create more snaps for him. And the minute they started to do that, it sort of unlocked him in the passing game too. So a lot of this uptick you're seeing has come after they tinkered with the idea of putting him at running back once in a while. And I think that has finally worked. And other than Cortland Sutton, I would say Bo Nix trusts no other receiver as much as Marvin Mims.
Interesting. Maybe the game in Kansas City is where I first saw them do that. He had a few rushes in that game, and things started to change. Well, Jeff, it's always great to talk to you. I really mean that. It's just I get nostalgic thinking about the Rochester days. And have a great trip out here.
Those are a very long time ago now, but yes, I'm always happy to hear from you.
Well, not quite as long ago, Jeff, but my old producer, Brad Ryder, who's a friend of both of Mike and myself, texted me when he heard you talking to us just now and said he remembers probably having you on with us before Music City Miracle. I used to do a nighttime show on WBEN before I came over here and ended up partnering up with Mike. But I said, that absolutely sounds right. Like, I remember you from there way back since Mike and I had been together when he first brought you up. I'm like, Titans guy? Anyway, it's nice to talk to you again.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much, and I'll see you. I'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, Jeff.
Safe travels,
Jeff Legwald, ESPN on the Broncos. A little bit time left for a phone call or two at 803-0550. We'll have picks at 6. You don't want to miss that. It's the playoffs. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Friday continues here on WGR.